You are now tuned in to DAR Sports Media, hooping and hollering. We are hitting up, heading towards the end of the season in the NBA, teams fighting for playoff position. And that's what our main guys, the crew, Jeff Axe, Tay, and True God, are going to be diving into tonight. I'm about to pass it off to the coach, our point guard, running things here on Hooping and Hollering. Bad Macaroni, third leg on him, homie. It's Jeff Axel.
What's up? What's happening? You know, it's intriguing. We got about 14, 15 games left in the season. Eastern Conference going down to the wire. Western Conference going down to the wire. We're going to start off with the Western Conference and start off between teams 6 through 10. Currently, with the sixth best record in the West, it's the Sacramento Kings. They're 39-28. Right behind them is Dallas Mavericks, 39-29. Same record, the Phoenix Suns. Then you have the Lakers at the 9 seed at 37-32. And then the Warriors at 35-32. Right now, the Mavericks are up on the Spurs by 13 points. So they could flip spots with the Kings as we speak. So it's a lot of intriguing matchups. So I'm going to start off with you, Tay. What do you think about some of these matchups going down to the wire?
I think Lakers and Warriors, I think that one's pretty set in stone. Like, I think that's definitely the 9 versus 10 matchup. And, I mean, that's what the NBA wants. I'm sure that's what most people want. You know, it'd be LeBron or Steph Curry not going to be in this year's playoffs, pretty much. That's what that means. But, I don't know. I don't know if Dallas stays in this play-in hunt. You know, they could definitely go to the sixth spot. I don't know if they want that, though. I think the sixth spot, that's probably the worst spot to get. If you get the sixth spot, you're probably going to play Denver. That's what it's looking like. And I don't think anyone wants to play Denver in round one.
Yeah, but if they get to the sixth spot, then Luka's officially True God NBA MVP eligible. So, be all right.
Nah, you got to be the first seed with 75 wins to get
that. Oh, shut the hell up. All of y'all, shut the hell up. Just to push y'all bullshit, 8th seed, get the fuck out of here. Today is not the day, brothers. Today is not the day for me. So, God, shut that shit up. And let's get back to talking about what we talking about here, brothers. Y'all want to talk about Luka and all of them. First of all, I would like to see Luka and Kyrie fall to the 9th seed. It's not going to happen because the Warriors suck and the Lakers suck. But if in some odd way of 14, 15 games left, we get that, then yeah, I would love to see. I don't want to see the Warriors and Lakers, honestly. Like, I really don't want to see it. Like, I think the Warriors have like a slightly easier schedule than the Lakers, but the Lakers also at home. But it's like the Warriors play better on the road than they do at home this year. So that's also a flip the coin type of thing, right? Where it's like the Warriors go on the road as the 10th seed and then win that game. Say they win against the Lakers, which, I mean, it's very possible they could. They just won the last two. But I don't know. I think Steve Kerr said something stupid. He said something about, Miami made the finals from the play-in. The Lakers made the conference finals from the play-in, but it's like, y'all are not 7th or 8th. Y'all are, like, very low, you know?
You got to win 2 games, yeah. That's the thing, like, Bob Bank.
That's how you know that True was serious, because he got the Dick Tracy villain pros out on us. He said, get out of here.
Could have been a lot worse, actually. It should have been a lot worse, actually. But, like I said, today is just not today. Today's not today. But I don't think the Warriors and Lakers are anything like contenders at all. I think if this was 2-3 years ago, well, 4 years ago for the play-in, we'd be laughing at them for having 2 of the most entertaining players in the league and being that low, for having Anthony Davis and Braun on the same team, mostly healthy this year, and not doing shit. So I think we would clown them. As far as the Mavs, Mavs go, Mavs got Luka and Kyrie. When they want to turn it on, they can. So I think nobody really wants to see them, although I would like to see a healthy Golden State and healthy Lakers against one of them as well. The Suns suck. I don't expect them to get out of there, but you never know.
I'm tired of the media putting the Suns in conversations they don't belong in.
Somebody like, said they're the only team that could beat Denver.
Yeah, they swear they could just flip this switch. Like, they're an elite team. Like, they don't have multiple flaws. I'm glad they signed my boy IT, but they've been needing a point guard. Like, their front court outside of Nurkic is horrible. They just have so many flaws, and they just can't put it together. I remember Tay said before the season started, he was like, they got health issues. He doesn't believe in them staying healthy throughout the whole year.
I said so, they might not make the playoffs either. I mean, that's
true. You did say that.
That's a possibility.
Because if they play Dallas, Dallas going to smoke them because Luka always getting boys 40.
Yeah.
So that's not even – they going to win that. If they go against the Lakers or the Warriors, I don't know, man. They could miss around with the playoffs.
That's what MVPs do. Isn't that right, Tay?
Yeah.
Like, where would the Suns rank if they missed the playoffs? Where would they be as far as biggest disappointments?
It'd be pretty high. That's a disappointment. With a roster like that.
Do you – I mean, do you think so, though? Because I don't know how surprised any of us on this podcast would be.
I wasn't super high on them.
All of you guys were out on that from the beginning.
I wasn't high on them, but to say they was going to miss the playoffs, I didn't expect that. Tay called that, but me personally, I didn't expect them to miss the playoffs.
In terms of the Suns?
Yes. Yeah, is that one of the biggest disappointments of all time if they don't make the
playoffs? No, because – I didn't believe in the motherfuckers. I didn't believe in them to begin with. I think also they didn't stay healthy. I mean, that's pretty much what it is. If you can't stay healthy, brother, then that's the end of it, you know?
And I think that was the primary concern from the beginning that everybody had. Is you know, if there's any kind of health issues with this team, they do not have the depth, they do not have the defense, they don't have the bench to get anything done. If any of these guys go down, and they had health issues.
I mean, also, you got to think about this. Frank Vogel as a coach has not had very, you know, many successful seasons outside of the bubble season. So, you know, in terms of at least, you know, the last, what, 5-10 years? Five years, yeah, since he was with the Lakers. So ever since then, he was with the Lakers, and he went to the Suns, and it's like, Frank Vogel is a defensive coach. He's a defensive-minded coach. Who on the Suns plays defense? You got three good offensive players, two of the best to me, and it's just like, okay, I mean, I guess. You know what I'm saying? Like, I guess, but I don't know. I won't say it's a super disappointment. I think you got to put context to it. KD recently has been trash, you know. KD's been trash lately. Like, he hadn't even scored 20 in what, the last 3-4 games. So I don't know, man. I personally don't think the Suns have anything to push anybody in the playoffs if they did make the playoffs. Like, are they better than Denver? No. Are they better than Minnesota? Without Cat, I mean, maybe you could probably see something there, maybe. I don't even know if they're better than OKC in the sense of, like, when it comes time for playoffs, obviously OKC, we haven't seen them in the playoffs. But it's just, like, I still think they got a better team. I would still trust SGA. SGA, Jalen Williams. I like to see Chet against, you know, Nurkic and all that stuff, I think, in the playoffs. I think if you look at the Clippers suck. So maybe, like, there's a path for the Suns to actually get somewhere, but I don't honestly think they will. But I don't think it's a super disappointment. and because I don't think I had high hopes when people traded. When people, like we said it on here, we said second round team at best. So if by some chance they miss the playoffs, it's just, yeah, to me, it's okay.
Max, tell us what's going on the East in the play-in situation.
East is pretty intriguing on their side as well. I understand a lot of people prefer the West, but the Eastern Conference has been improved this season, in my opinion. I mean, you still have some teams on the up and up, but overall, it's way more competitive than it was back in years past. So at six, you had the Philadelphia 76ers at 38-30. Then you had the Pacers at 38-31. They've been slipping recently only because Halliburton's not 100%. He's trying to get that 65 games to try to get paid more. You can see he hasn't fully recovered from that hamstring issue that's been lingering all season for him. Philly, shout out to them. They're playing decent considering they have no Joel Embiid. Buddy Hield's had some good moments. Kelly Oubre's had some good moments. Tyrese Maxey's played well. But, you know, hopefully they stay out the play-in. The Heat are 37-31, 4-6 in their last 10. They took a bad loss to that Philly team last night. And then they deal with a lot of injuries, man. You know, Tyler Hero's hurt again. And everybody's expecting playoff Jimmy to flip the switch. Bam Adebayo's playing well this year, but you can't depend on that every single year, especially when these other teams in the Eastern Conference have gotten better. Like, nobody really stood pat over the offseason. Teams are improved this season. You can't depend on doing a play-in and getting to the finals again. Like, that's an anomaly. I don't think it's going to happen again. Then you got the Bulls at 34-35. They've been playing better recently. DeMar DeRozan's been playing at a high level. Kobe White, one of the most improved players in the league. Shout out to Nikola Vucevic. Like, they've been having a decent year. After a very slow start, to be around 500, they've been playing better. And the Hawks, they're 30-28, most likely going to be the 10 seed because I don't see the Brooklyn Nets catching them, in all honesty. Deontay Murray has been playing great ball since Trae Young's been out. I know we alluded to it a couple weeks ago. He's had a couple 40-point games, like hit some game winners. He's so much more comfortable without Trae Young in the lineup. So we'll see what happens when Trae Young comes back in probably a couple weeks. I'm hopeful that the Heat get eliminated, in my personal opinion. That's what I want to see. But jeez, we'll see what happens. I wish nothing but bad things for the Heat. Hope they get bounced by the Bulls, Pacers, Hawks, any of them. But
a showdown between Axe and Ernest Alexander.
Yeah, the only team that's the main threat, I don't know. It's tough to call. I don't know if any of these teams can compete against the top seeds in the East, in all honesty. But what do you think, Tay?
No. I really think the East is four and up, honestly. Like, I think the East is top heavy. Like, I don't think a five and anything in a play-in. There's some good teams, but I don't think they're great teams. They're not elite teams. And I'm sitting here looking at the standings, and I'm just thinking back to the in-season tournament. Do y'all remember when they were saying whoever wins the in-season tournament championship should get to the playoffs? Looking at the standings, like, do you think that would be good? Because the Lakers and the Pacers were in that game. And both of them, they're playing teams. You think that would have been good for the NBA?
Who was it's New York Knicks, Boston Celtics, Bucks, and who's the other in the top four?
Cleveland.
Yeah. Correct. See, more disrespect sleeping on Cleveland.
Sleeping on them for a reason.
Nah, they've been playing well despite the injuries.
Why is that there true?
I mean, the Cavs aren't built for the playoffs.
How so?
I don't think. Donovan Mitchell has an issue with staying healthy. Donovan Mitchell is also small, undersized. He's not a defensive guy. Darius Garland, great passer, good shooter at times. You know, I don't think Jared Allen, what are you going to do with Jared Allen in the playoffs? Is he going to be that guy? Are they better than the Celtics? Are they better? Are they better than the Bucks when it comes down to? I mean, I don't think the Bucks are really anything personally, but the Bucks can play better. Giannis, I think, usually plays well against them. I don't see personally. I don't see them beating the Knicks. I think if I had to choose, I would take Jalen Brunson over Donovan Mitchell. I mean, we've already talked about this, me and Tay. I don't have anything positive to say about Julius Randle, but I just think all the other teams are better suited. I don't think Cleveland has anything to really go with. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't think they really have anything that's going to put them over the hump. I can't find anybody. Where's Mac? Was Max Strus? He's hurt, right? Max Strus is hurt or something like that. I think he hurt.
I think so, yeah.
So it's like, he was irrelevant, honestly, once you got to the finals last year in Miami. So you can't really trust him. You can't really trust a lot of those guys on the team. I just don't look at that team as like a formidable contender. I think every Donovan Mitchell team looks good in a regular season. And then you get to like the playoffs, and he might give you a 40-point game, might give you a 50, you know, 35, 30. But the rest of the team, I don't know, man. Like they got their ass full by the Rockets. You know, they lost to, I think, the Suns not too long ago. Like, they had some interesting L's. They just got interesting L's. Like, you know, lost to the Nets, I believe, at home. The Hawks. They were down 23 at home to the Celtics and luckily came back to win that one. But it took obviously a whole lot to overcome that, you know. But it's like, if you got to play the Celtics in the playoffs, you got to play the Knicks in the playoffs. And there's a very good chance you might see the Knicks in the first round. I think the Knicks got them. You know, I think there's a chance if you see them in the first round, if you go against the six seed, I think it's a third. That's Philly.
Yeah.
But that's just because of that's going to change because Philly is not going to keep winning games. We got 14 games to go, 14, 15 games to go. So with 14, 15 games to go, I don't expect the 76ers to maintain. I could see the Heat move up. I could see the Pacers move up. The 76ers don't have enough to keep winning games. I know they just beat Miami, but it's like Miami is whatever right now. Jimmy Butler was out. They had Duncan Robinson leave, you know what I'm saying, at one point in the game. So it's like, it's just health with that. But the 76ers, I could see them fall. And it's like the Knicks, if the Knicks maintain the fourth seed and or the Magic drop to, say, sixth, which I don't really see that happening, but I feel like the Knicks and the Magic are probably locked in at the fourth and fifth. And I think the Pacers will end up at sixth and the Cavaliers will probably finish third. And if that's the case, then I personally feel like the Pacers could beat. If Halliburton finds something again, I don't think he does. I don't think he finds it right now, but I think he can find it when it comes to the playoffs. He was amazing in the in-season tournament, so like maybe he's just kind of waiting to turn up, or maybe he's still hurt. But I think the Cavs, if you play the Pacers first round, I might be inclined to take the Pacers. If you play the Knicks the first round, the Magic, I might be inclined to take the Magic, even though we haven't seen what the Magic can do in playoffs like that with this iteration that they have. I don't think the only like prominent team that they could face in this 6-10 range that I feel like they could for sure beat would be like the 76ers without Embiid. But with Embiid, I think they would get smoked. So
yeah, Cavs got to prove in the playoffs for sure, especially after last year's showing. Where the Knicks kind of bullied them in the first round. They definitely got to prove it. But real quick, shout out to Orlando. 41-28. Paolo Banchero leading them in scoring at 23-7-5. Franz Wagner averaging 20 a game. Cole Anthony, like, huge six-man punch off the bench. Jalen Suggs in his role. Jonathan Isaac, he's a lockdown defender. They're a quality team, so shout out to them. I got an article about Paolo Banchero. Franz Wagner coming later this week. Just wanted to plug that. Like, to be 13 games over 500, like, I expected them to be good, but I don't think anybody expected them to be the fifth seed this year. Like that's just so impressive. So shout out to the Orlando Magic. I think they're going to lose if they play against the Knicks in the playoff series. Just think it's too much Jalen Brunson, but wanted to give him a shout out.
I agree.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say the Magic, they just smoked the Hornets. Obviously, the Hornets are trash, but they just smoked them boys pretty badly. So it's just interesting. You know, it's just interesting to kind of see where they are right now. I think when you look at the Eastern Conference, you know, right now, I think I feel like all 10 seeds are locked in, right? Like, not locked in terms of like what they'll finish, but all 10 teams are locked in. I think, you know, the Nets ain't got it. Mikal Bridges is not that guy. You got Dennis Schroeder out there hitting threes and shit. You're not going far with that. The Raptors are done. The Hornets, obviously done. Pistons and Wizards, obviously done. Which is, it's very hilarious that the Wizards eventually got so bad that they have a worse record than the Pistons. That's actually hilarious to me because the Pistons had the worst losing streak ever and they still managed to find a way to have a worse record. But like I said, I think, you know, we got Celtics and Bucks. I think those top two are maybe locked in. That's also another thing. The Cavs are like knocking on the door a second, but also very close to falling into fourth. So really just these last 14, 15 games, they got to, you know, get that figured out. The Magic are 2-3 games away from the fourth and third seed, 4 games out of second. I don't expect them to go on like no crazy run, you know what I mean, and be able to like do that. But I think that itself is kind of what the Eastern Conference is. It's like very top heavy in the sense of you got the Celtics and some people think of the Bucks, but the Bucks have been weird right now. You know, the Bucks have had a weird season, fired their coach, brought Doc Rivers in, which doesn't help anybody. And, you know, you got, you know, the Cavs, the Knicks, the Magic, the 76ers, Pacers, Heat, Bucks, and Hawks all in the rest of that. And I don't think anybody looks at any of those teams, except maybe the Knicks, if they're healthy, as a team who can really make a splash in the conference final. I could see the Magic being a second round team if they don't have to face the Knicks in the first round and if the Knicks are healthy. So, you know, like, I don't really see any teams. It just feels like we're just treading water for a Celtics versus Bucks conference finals with them being the top two seeds, which I feel like the Eastern Conference has gotten better, but like not better at the same time because the Celtics and the Bucks have basically been the top two teams in the East for the last 5 to 6, 7 years, basically. Except that one year that the Celtics were in the play-in. That was like it. And that was just because they had injuries and, you know, which that was a weird season anyway. Like, that was a weird season, you know?
Well, True was talking about surprising losses, and we are in the season of surprising losses because March Madness is kicking off here real soon. And I know you guys wanted to do a nice little segment talking about some of your favorites and the oncoming of one of the most exciting times of the year for the college side of this beautiful game.
Yeah, March Madness is here. It's very interesting. I know Apollo just actually put out what he considers Under the Radar. It's a new series that he's going to be doing on his own thing, which is Shock Sports. He has a Substack, I believe, which I subscribe to. You should subscribe to that as well. And, of course, he's going to be writing for the DAR Medium site. He, you know, has been talking about a lot of the players that he feels are going, you know, kind of going unnoticed. And it's weird because, and I know we have Tay on the panel, so I'm going to say it anyway, is that, you know, women's basketball is really, really doing, you know, doing a lot. Women's college basketball is doing a lot right now. The numbers are looking great. And I can't say enough about that. But with March Madness getting ready to start, the tournament's about to start. You got a couple games. You know, you got games tomorrow, I believe. The first four games.
Started.
Yeah, they started. I know it's on a couple. I think Texas A&M.
Well, the NIT was rolling tonight.
Howard and Wagner, the 16 seed, is like a little play-in joint.
I saw Howard lost, right?
Yeah, he lost by 3.
Yeah, I saw that. I know tomorrow you got, I think, Grambling State, Montana State, 16 seeds, and then you got Colorado and Boise State, I think, off the top of my head. But of course, Thursday is when it really kicks off. You got Wagner, who just won. They're gonna be playing UNC, which is I don't expect any upsets there. You got Long Beach State versus Arizona. Got Morehead State versus Illinois. I believe Kentucky plays Oakland Thursday. Dayton versus Nevada. I'm doing this all off the top of my head right now, so I'm working on something, so I can't actually go look this up. I know the game that I'm actually looking forward to watching personally is Texas Tech versus NC State. I just have a feeling that's going to be a really good game. If you are a bettor, I'd say this slate is interesting. Stay away from the money lines. Focus on the spreads, if the spreads are decent enough. Because in college basketball, you could, like, Samford versus Kansas, right? Kansas, I believe, has an injury, right? I think an injury or something like that. I saw, I'm busy today, so I haven't looked. But I think I saw something about that. Somebody mentioned it to me. And it's like, Samford could go up against Kansas. Samford could upset Kansas. So what you want to do is just take the spread, just in case. I have not seen what the spread looks like personally, but just say in certain cases, you want to take that spread. You know, any player could get in foul trouble. This is what March Madness is. It's always one random, really big, really big upset. What upset is that going to be this year? I don't know. I do not know. But I have a feeling if it was going to be an upset, the Kansas and Samford game is what's sticking out right now.
Well, even if it's not a full upset, you can guys go do what my favorite thing is to do on college football weekends, which is the three-team parlay, the three biggest underdogs, and just put a small bet on it. Not to win, but to cover the spread. You get the biggest spread line. It's like, bro, all you got to do is not get beat by 30 or whatever ridiculous number it is. And that works out quite often for me. So that's what I'll be looking to do for sure this weekend.
I'll be completely honest. I mainly watch NBA, and I usually don't watch college until March, to be honest. Just personal preference. I'm not going to get into details, just personal preference. But one thing I've noticed over the past couple years is the smaller schools compete against the blue bloods. Like, it's not as many blowouts as it used to be because of the camaraderie of these teams playing together for 3 to 4 years, and they're going against these one-and-done type programs.
Yeah, yeah.
So the smaller schools have been more successful. So if I was to take a bet, I would say it's going to be about 3 or 4 upsets this weekend.
And it's very rarely anymore the juggernauts are the ones that end up winning the thing. So that's also interesting as well.
But I would say UConn's probably going to win it all, if I was to take a guess. Out of all the teams I have seen, I've seen a few teams here and there. Like, Houston's pretty good. This other team's is good. But I think UConn's going to win it all this season. But wouldn't be surprised if it's multiple upsets. And I'm hoping it is. Like, I'm hoping. And I want to see Rob Dillingham. That's probably my favorite player in college. So looking forward to seeing him.
Tay, any March Madness thoughts?
Yes. So about the sports betting side of things, I'm taking all the 10 seeds, all the 11 seeds, all the 12 seeds. Somebody's going to win. Somebody's going to get it done. Like, it just goes like that every year.
With that strategy, you don't have to make a big bet to win good money. That's good about it. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's true. Really, what I watch March Madness for, I like to watch NBA prospects, like, guys that are going to the next level. Like Kentucky, they might have I think they do have two top 10 prospects. You got Reed Shepherd, and you got everyone's favorite Rob Dillingham. They aren't the best team, but they should definitely get pretty far. And same thing with UConn, they have some first rounders on their team as well. yeah, really, March Madness, it's just a fun time. Like, I don't really root for anyone necessarily. Like, I really just watch. That's one of the few things I could just watch and just enjoy, you know. I don't have to worry about, oh, my favorite team winning or losing. I just watch players that are coming to the NBA, you know. Like, I just want to see how they do. I don't think it necessarily matters. Like Brandon Miller was awful in March Madness, but I don't think anyone say his rookie year was awful, you know. It doesn't really matter necessarily, but I just want to see what you got. I just want to see how you play. When the lights are brighter, you know. So that's really my take on March Madness. Take the underdog.
Well, it's good that you brought up we're talking so much gambling because you guys were wanting to cover some NBA championship betting lines that have been updated recently. Some any kind of values or what interests you in these NBA betting lines that have recently been updated? True?
Not so much what's been like. I think everybody has Boston Celtics as the current favorite. And I am sure my man X, my guy X, I know he probably has them as the favorites. But I think it's interesting when you look at some of these things. You got the Milwaukee Bucks at a +700. Not that I expect them to, but it's interesting. Oklahoma City Thunder, who have fluctuated between first and third seed in the West because it's that close, are +1900 to win the championship.
Oh god.
So that is very nice. Now it's funny, we
nice and
the
crispy.
Phoenix Suns. We mentioned the Phoenix Suns. They are a +2400, which is of course hilarious because I don't expect it. But you know the funniest one out of all of them? And if I was a betting man, the craziest thing to ever happen would be if the fifth seed currently, Orlando Magic, won the NBA championship because they are a +37,000 to win.
Bless.
Now.
37,000 or
3,700?
37,000. 37,000. You're fucking kidding me. I'm driving to Maryland after we get off of here.
That's worth 10 bucks just to give it a shot. Like, it is worth 10 bucks. Now, for Tay, the fourth seed Knicks that are rolling, have amazing defense, just whooped the Warriors' ass two nights ago when you hear this. They are +3,400. Interesting, I would say. That's interesting. The Knicks at +30, I feel like those are the good values. Now, the Clippers are – here's the bad value to me. The Clippers are a +550. That's bad value. Clippers should be where the Knicks are. The Knicks should be where the Clippers are because the Clippers fucking suck. They have James Harden, who is not going to perform in the playoffs. Russell Westbrook is hurt. Paul George is Paul George. He's playoff P when he stinks it up. Kawhi Leonard, we'll see how long he stays healthy. The Dallas Mavericks, we were just talking about. Dallas Mavericks, Kyrie and Luka just beat – the defending champions the other day, they are a +3,200. The Minnesota Timberwolves, who have been number one most of the year until Cat got hurt, +3,200 as well. So this is interesting odds, though, right? Because the Minnesota Timberwolves are top three and probably going to obviously clearly finish top three in the West. Dallas Mavericks are eighth, close to ninth, seventh, ninth, and they're in the play-in, and they have the same odds. The New York Knicks have lesser odds. Their odds are like 3,400 compared to 32. The Mavericks, the Suns all have higher, you know, all have like +24, +32. The Knicks are +3,400. Why are they so low in terms of, you know, I mean, there's a great value, but why are the Clippers and the Suns and the Mavericks listed as more like, I'm expected to win championship more so than them. I don't think that's logical. Honestly, I don't think that's a logical thing. Golden State Warriors are +4,200. I don't think anybody expects them to win a championship. Lakers are +5,000. I don't believe that. One other value that you might want to look at, we were talking about them before, always an opportunity and chance that this could happen. It's very It's not likely, but it's always a chance. The New Orleans Pelicans are plus 6,500, and they are steamrolling the Brooklyn Nets right now. So that is absolutely one that could.
They get ready to be 8-2 in their last 10 games, man. Like Zion playing at a high level. Like he's getting his 25 a game now. Like Brandon Ingram's getting over 20 a game. Trey Murphy, Herb Jones, they're great wing players. Like CJ McCollum and Jonas Valanciunas, those are good veterans. Pelicans might, they might get the Clippers up out of here if they match up in the series. If the Clippers don't have Russ, that series might be up in the air. I don't know, man.
Yeah. Look, there are so many teams right now that are on what I call the bubble, in the sense of like this is a make or break season for a lot of teams.
Yes.
And I think the Clippers don't get it done this year. You got to split them up. You got to split them up because they're not doing anything. I think
they'll do that with that fancy new stadium coming next season, though?
Yeah, they can. They're going to have to run. They'll have to run.
Paul George might have to go, yo.
They might get rid of Paul George. Kawhi Leonard is the draw, apparently. Paul George might go. Who knows where he's going to go? You know, I see there's a couple spots where he might fit in.
What's it been, 6 years, true? They've been together, what, 5-6 years?
5-6 years, yeah.
And because done one shit.
Yeah.
One conference finals, like, because they can't stay healthy together. They cannot stay healthy. I don't think we've seen a healthy – the only time I think they've been healthy in the playoffs together was in the bubble, and that is, like, it's the bubble. So it's, like, you know, ever
they
since –
they still blew a 3-1 lead, though. I don't
care.
They're
trash.
I don't care. They're trash. In the snow.
No, they're trash.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's make or break, man. Like, you got to understand, they gave up their entire future. Give up – Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and all your draft picks till 2027 for this move, for this roster. So, yeah, they're going to have to recoup some of that back, man.
Yeah, we're going to see.
If they don't have Russ, I don't know. Like, they're not beating Denver in the series. Pelicans, last time they played them, Pelicans won by like 20. So, I don't think that's the matchup they really want. So, I'm not sure. And the Clippers are older, too, man. Like, you really think about it, their core players are all 32 and older.
Which is crazy. So, this is the thing.
It ain't going.
So, here's the thing about the Clippers, right? And I guess the same thing could be said about the Suns in a way, too. The Clippers are a team that the only guy on that team that's a champion and has experience is Kawhi. The only person that ever turns it up in the playoffs on that team is Kawhi Leonard. If Kawhi gets hurt, there is no chance for the Clippers to do anything, no matter who they play. Paul George could go for 35 and 40 in a game, and it still won't make a difference. And I think that is the problem in itself right there. You don't have enough with these guys that you have. James Harden, and the regular season, is one of the best players you ever see, put up great seasons, great numbers. But he gets to the playoffs, and it's extremely inconsistent because the way his game was predicated once he became the number one option, it kind of thrived on getting to the line more. And also, and it's like not only just getting to the line, but also like it kind of comes down to you can win playing ISO ball once you get to the, you know, once you get to the playoffs, but that style is hard to win with. Harden was putting up like record elimination game numbers in terms of like the worst possible thing that you've ever seen. And that in itself is like, damn, like bro can't even, you know what I'm saying? Like bro can't even do this. Or bro can't even do that. And it's like, even as a third option, he might be like last year, right? You know, the 76ers, I think he had like that 45-point game against the Celtics. I think he had like another 45-point game or something like that to a 40-point. There's There's not a lot that you can really I had a call come in. So there's not a lot that you can in go off of and say, yo, James Harden had this type of game. James Harden had that type of game. James Harden did this. James Harden is that. James Harden is this. James Harden is that. No, there's nothing there where people could say that, you know.
Yeah, man, I might have to take New Orleans, man, the more I'm thinking about it. Now, Kawhi will be the best player on the court, But we'll see if he stays healthy these last few games. He's been doing it this season. I give him that. Him and AD and Zion. Like, they've been getting ridiculed for it in the past, but all three guys have been relatively healthy this year. But I like the way New Orleans is playing right now. They're just in a really good rhythm, and Clippers, they're going to have to. I did see a report that teams are monitoring what happens with Paul George. That's going to be the only player who could probably get some trade value back. I don't see them trading Kawhi. But something's a little off with the Clippers, man. Like, it's title or bust for them boys, for real.
Yeah, I think title or bust, and I think we're not seeing no title. I think they had a run earlier in the season, and I think people started to feel like, oh, the Clippers might do it. And now it's like they come back down to earth. I watched the Hawks game. Watching that Hawks game was, like, hilarious to me because I'm like, yo, they are getting washed right now. Well, absolutely washed. And, yeah, that was – they got washed. They got cooked, and that was it. And
Paul George got to get off the podcast, Mike, man, and lock in. Playoffs 15 games away. You got to put that away for a second, man.
Speaking of podcasts, really quickly, want to talk about LeBron James and J.J. Redick got together to host their own podcast. It's like everybody's doing podcasts now, clearly, you know. Everybody's doing podcasts. That's the thing right now, and the players are getting into it, which I thought was really interesting. But what baffled me about this is that LeBron and J.J. Redick, not that these are guys who I, you know, I don't personally care for J.J. Redick in terms of what he talks about on ESPN. Sometimes he's okay, sometimes he's not. I think LeBron has great insight. I think that's a good idea for players, but I also think when you see players start to do podcasts and becomes a thing, I think you start to see them looking ahead. And I also brought that up to bring up Draymond, who does his own podcast and said something really weird about how he was upset that LeBron hadn't been on his podcast, but he did a podcast with J.J. Redick. And I first thought that was a fake quote. And, you know.
That's not something he would say. That's crazy, though. Like, I haven't caught the episode yet. I'll watch it. It just seemed like it's homework. So I'll tune in for it when I want to. Like, I don't feel like I'm rushing to see the pod based off of clips I saw.
And so that's the thing I think with that is that LeBron and J.J. Redick, I think these are two different coins of the spectrum. I don't think J.J. Redick is a basketball genius IQ-wise, and I think LeBron is one of the closest things you could get to a basketball genius IQ-wise. So I actually think LeBron and Draymond working together on a podcast would have actually been a lot better than J.J. Redick, but just Draymond too much of a, like, I don't know, too much of an eater. And I just don't think this podcast is going to last long, but I will say what this is, it's almost a declaration to the LA Lakers from LeBron. LeBron is looking into the avenues for when he leaves basketball behind. What does the Lakers look like when LeBron is gone? What is happening? Is Anthony Davis going to carry it? I don't think so.
They ain't going to have no draft picks. That's what happened. Hey. LeBron lead the team. They lose all their draft picks.
Yeah. I think that's a part of the problem, right? I think that is a part of the issue in itself. I think you can absolutely look at certain things and see that the writing's on the wall. LeBron has games where he takes off and he's like, I'm not giving too much effort. LeBron has games where he's like, hey, look, you know, I'm going to go out there and I'm gonna do this. I'm going to go out there and do that. And I think with that, you kind of have to think about the Lakers being in a play-in situation right now. Is LeBron wants to play in the summertime for Team USA, right? That is like his goal. I don't feel like the Lakers in there. LeBron is the guy where if he knows what the team has and it's not enough, I think he could half-ass. We've seen it before in the past. We haven't seen it too much. He's in a couple of times with the Lakers, but he might half-ass in a play-in game because he might be ready to go enjoy a summer. I think you could see that because, like I said, I think he's looking beyond basketball. He just wants to play with his son. Everything else is extra. Everything else is gravy. So I think the podcast could, you know,
be one of those things.
I think it's dope that a player his stature is opening up and, like, you know, because, you know, Jordan took him forever to open. It took him 30 years in documentary to kind of open up. Like, Kobe, towards the end, before his demise, unfortunately, he was doing detail. Like, so towards the end of his career, he started opening up. So I think it's dope that, you know, all-time great is letting us in. And, you know, maybe I'm wrong about the podcast being strictly all basketball plays and stuff. Maybe talk about some real life shit in there too. Like, it depends. So I'm going to check it out and I'll have like actual feedback, because it did get dropped today and I had some other stuff I was doing. But I think it's dope that somebody of his caliber is being open to the fans, in my opinion.
Well, we hope you've enjoyed us being open with you about the NBA and March Madness here on Hoopin' and Hollerin'. We appreciate the support. Please look out for us, DAR Sports Media, coming to you pretty much every other day. Right now, we got Hoopin' and Hollerin' on Wednesdays. We got football Fridays. We got the weekend wrestling on the weekends. And of course, please look out for us noon Mondays for United Football Media. Tell me about it. The number one wraparound show following and watching the United Football League, formerly the XFL, the USFL combined. We are on a flagship program for a flagship media group covering that spring football league. We will be coming to you every Monday at noon on their YouTube channel. So please check that out as well. It's a heck of a schedule. We are keeping up with it, trying to keep the fire flowing, because we all know that the world of DAR never stops.
My movement and my mental kept my wins low. Yeah, I'm poster proof. I cop and a feel on greatness. Help me imprison the notable opposition that's trying to spar with my vision. I'm wine Asian. Later low, I show call what time is like emotional. Been coachable and learn from my old heads. I treat being amazing like an emergency code red. Can raise your name and pimp the game and not keep that hoe fed. My first book was to come up to sequel. Reeks of the Monet like Ghost Kid. I paved the way. On top of that, I laid a gravel path. Buried generational curses to that. I raised a glass. Grew a family garden. We all eat and we wave the flag. Trying to run the store and not just make the bag. I hate to brag about a victory if history tells me that I lost the war. Can't just focus on the battles. That's too small. I need the larger picture. The bigger, the more it's vivid. Slow the shade in 5-9 seconds under a minute. You finish.
Chains only as strong as its weakest link. And rapping as a job ain't as easy as people think. I was on the brink. Drove the over. Eat and drink, throwing everything at this career except the kitchen sink. Every line stone rubbish, websites won't publish. Somehow this dope without a controlled substance, but everybody fronting and won't nobody back you. Everyone you rap to is telling you you that dude trapped between two worlds, slowly getting ripped apart. Just hoping that this is the start of my redemption arc. I was trying to live the part, show the industry my heart, but they get the smell in blood when you swimming with the sharks. And that's when I decided I wasn't gonna follow rules. Got back to my roots just like Apollo Crews. Now my team steady winning. Every day we got some news. Parker Lewis on them fools. Trust me, I'm not gonna lose. Let's go.
I'm a walking number two. Bigger than voter. I'm breaking the back of the vultures. They love to my culture. I'm stepping up closer. Giving a smack of the dose of the blows. I hustle and flow. These my toes are swole. Kicking the dough. I got in the mode. They get in the game and move like a pro. Boy, stash. Go hard at it. Bring all habit. Yo, check them better. Just fall back when they all average. Gotta get savage. Bring the monster out. Need to grow up and walk in his promise now. Flash out of the ceiling, the chandeliers in a minute. And if the clouds take shape, then I'm flying out to get him. A social construct straight away, feel like I'm
thinking my way, facing these days, shit was ominous. Trapped in this cage, passing through graves, search for prominence. Stuck in my ways, trusted a maze of certain dominance. Just to get paid, what could you say? I work for all of this. Really a chapter full of confusion. Bruce's lacerations on this plantation full of seclusion. In a world of assumptions, guess I'm full of conclusions. Recruited through every student, English that was imprudent, including my own way of life, trite starts and compartments. Harder for blacker artists on batch, we saw some targets. The bullseye was knowing my passion truly engulfed me. But could I put words into action, moving too faulty? Like, should I emerge from this rap and move it up off me? Or would I? These labels and factors truly insult me. So I made a path for my own dollars and cents. You could place me some checks. Tracking the throne will follow your strengths. If you chasing success, have it be known how you submit. When you facing your reps, greatness and flesh, now we imprint. Yeah.